I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Chriselle.
On today's episode, we have one of the original queens of social media. She is a Korean-American entrepreneur, fashion icon, and digital influencer who started off her fashion career as a wardrobe stylist. In December 2011, this serious Asian boss girl founded the Chriselle Factor to chronicle her daily musings and personal style. And she has since grown a powerhouse of a following on social media with close to 5 million followers across various channels. She empowers and inspires women all over the world. She recently started two companies, Abumo Parent and Abumo Work, a co-working space, which we are at today, and Virtual Classroom that provides education-based childcare and a community for parents who work hard and parent harder.
Chriselle's goal is to encourage, educate, and inspire all women across the globe through her personal style, runway trends, beauty secrets, and fashion tips and tricks. And if there's one word to describe Chriselle, we would say it is chic.
Mm-hmm.
She has also garnered the new name of Rich Mom on TikTok.
Yep.
We are so excited to have her on the podcast. Please welcome to Asian Boss Girl, Chriselle Lim.
Woohoo! Hello, ladies. I am so excited to be here with you guys. Or have you guys here at Abumo.
Yeah, we are so excited to be here. This is our first time in this space. We've seen it all over Instagram. And let me tell you, it is just as aesthetically pleasing as you see online. It is beautiful. So beautiful and comfortable and just like inspiring in here.
It's very...
Like, I want to sleep here, I want to work here, I want to eat here, I want to do everything
well,
here.
As a new mom to be, you're going to have to come back.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. One. I will, for sure. So I wanted to start off this conversation by asking, you know, not only do you co-run a fairly new business, but you are incredibly present and interactive with your followers on your social media platforms every day, while also being a mother of two beautiful young girls. Bring us into the life of Chriselle Lim. What is your daily schedule like?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so it's a little bit scattered, so bear with me. But I have to say the one constant that I have is my morning routine. Mm-hmm. And that is what grounds me. And I did not have a morning routine, like a really set morning routine, until the pandemic, surprisingly.
Okay.
And because I felt like I was literally working all day, all morning. My kids were all over me. I just could not figure out how to find peace within my own home, within myself. So I just started this morning routine and it's changed my life. And that's the one constant. So I don't know if you guys want to hear about what I do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Please. Yes, really, all the details.
It's quite simple. So I wake up at 6 a.m. every single day.
Oh, my gosh. Early that's riser. So early.
Okay. Get ready, girl.
I know. Get ready. I don't have kids yet.
You're going to be waking up at 12, 3, and 6.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So... 6 a.m. I don't even need an alarm clock because I joke that once you give birth to a kid, you're giving birth to an actual alarm clock.
Oh, my gosh.
A built-in alarm clock.
Scary. Okay.
So I wake up naturally at 6 a.m. because my kids have been waking me up at 6 a.m. for the past, like, 6 years of being a parent. So I wake up at 6 a.m. I immediately go to the bathroom and take a cold shower.
Oh.
Like, I'm not talking lukewarm. I'm talking about cold, cold shower.
Okay.
This is something that's pretty new, but it's changed my life because I don't drink coffee in the morning anymore.
Oh,
because
yeah.
This actually instantly gives me the energy that I need for the day. So I take a cold shower for like 5 minutes, and then I actually do my meditation because I was doing the opposite before, and I was still kind of like in sleepy mode when I was doing my meditation. So I realized that once I got into the shower, woke up there, then I come out and I do, you know, whether it be a 30-minute reading or a prayer or whatever that is, I always start off that way. And then for 30 minutes, I do a workout. I use Peavall. That's where we last met, right? Mm-hmm. But they have a workout app that I do at home. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't have time for 30 minutes. Sometimes I'll do 15 minutes. But consistently, that is what I've been doing for the past year. And it's been really great for me and just like my crazy schedule. And then from there, everything kind of goes downhill.
yeah. Well, first off, did you stop drinking coffee because of the kids?
I felt like coffee wasn't doing anything to me anymore. Because I was the type of person that I could literally drink like 3 cups of coffee and fall asleep.
Oh, me too. I can fall asleep everywhere. I feel like I'm like half narcoleptic. I can literally sleep anywhere, anytime.
I'm with you.
Like, yeah. And coffee doesn't affect me.
It doesn't
me.
Do yeah. anything yeah. for me. It used to, but it stopped because I think my body just got used to it and it was just exhausted. So coffee wasn't obviously doing the job that it used to. So I quit coffee and then I tried to figure something else out and I couldn't really figure it out. And the showers really helped. And then also another thing is I don't have it with me today, but I carry a 100-ounce bottle of water. Mm-hmm. I ordered it from Amazon. It's pink. It's really cute. It's not like one of those muscle builder like water
like
jugs.
Yeah.
Pink one. It's kind of cute. And I carry that everywhere. And I actually drink that entire thing for the day. And from that to my morning showers, I don't really need coffee anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if I do get coffee, it's usually decaf now.
Got it.
Yeah, because I just like the smell of it, you know?
Yeah, same. I do. I feel like it's a placebo effect for me.
Yeah.
Like, it wakes me up in a different way, or it makes me feel like I need to be more proactive or active in what I'm doing in the moment because I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah, and it just makes me feel cool. Like, oh, I'm going to go get coffee, but it's not going to really do anything.
Yeah.
It's just like to look cool, to hold my Starbucks cup. I don't know.
I do that all the time. Oh my gosh, called out.
I know.
Well, is your day very different on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah.
Other than your morning routine?
Yeah. So from there, it really just depends. I'll go straight into mom mode usually and drop off the kids at school. If they have school right now, it's summer, so they have camp. And then right after I drop them off, then I usually either come here to Bumo and work out of here, or work out of home. If I'm recording a podcast, as you guys know, the pains of that, it has to be dead silent. Yeah. So I can't record a podcast here. So I'll usually do it, stay at home during that time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I feel like meetings are happening again a little bit. So I take on meetings a lot here in LA. Every day is really different. Fridays though, I do all of my content batching. I do all of my TikToks, Instagram, sponsorships on Fridays.
Oh, okay.
So I don't really film throughout the week, but on Fridays, that's when it's carved out for just content making.
Wow.
And that is how I'm able to kind of be able to run a business and still be able to be a content creator.
Ah,
yeah.
That is a great tip. Yeah.
I mean, that's not like exactly a like hour by hour schedule, but in general, it's like I'm doing one or the other. I'm either here at Bumo working on something with my team here, or creating content on Fridays.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, that is a question that we'll dive into deeper a little bit later on, but you're so just like so present on your socials. I'm just like, how does she do it?
Yeah.
But yes, for anyone out there who is wondering, content batching is a thing, you know?
Yeah.
So you're not balancing so many things at like one time.
I do have to say though, TikTok is a bit of a different beast though. Mm. And that's what I realized, because I used to content batch a lot for TikTok. Mm. I still do here and there, But I realized that those videos that I content batch for TikTok don't necessarily do that well. So I kind of stopped. I try to stop doing it. If I know that I have a really busy week, then I will do it. But if I feel like I have a bit more room to play around with content making throughout the week, I won't batch TikToks because TikTok is very much like in the moment. Like I had this idea. I feel really good about it. Let me film it right now.
Yeah. Like you're inspired in the moment.
Yeah, you're inspired in the moment. And it's so weird that it translates because when you're excited about something, it actually shows in your video. Mm. Whereas with Instagram, it's mainly photos, even though Instagram is now claiming that they're a video sharing app. No longer a photo sharing app. I still think that they're a photo sharing app. I post up all my photos there.
Same. Yeah.
So, yeah, TikTok is a little bit different. Yeah.
So then the breadth of your day might differ from day to day, right, in terms of what you're doing. But is there, like, a set time that you get home for dinner or what happens kind of, like, after work?
So the bulk of, like, my work hours, no matter what day it is, it's usually 9 a.m. to about 5 p.m. So usually by 5 p.m. I'm completely checked out. I don't even check my phone because that's the time that I have with the kids. So from 5 to about 8:30 p.m., which is, if you really think about it, that's not that much time with kids, right? Because it's only, what, 3 hours, right? And so I just really view that as my sacred time with the girls. And, you know, whatever it is that we want to do for the day together as a family, we'll do it, whether it's going to the park or right now they're really into, like, there's these things called aqua beads. And it's, it's weird.
Like jewelry making?
It's this little board with, like, little tiny beads. Oh. And you're supposed to create.
Does that, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it lights up? Kind of, you could, like, light it up? Is it
no, it doesn't light up, but it's, like, different colors. So. Okay.
And then you put water on it and it fuses together.
Yeah, yes, it fuses together.
Okay.
And so they've been really into aqua beads, so I'll literally sit down with them in their kids' table and make aqua beads with them. Oh. And I just, like, get my hands dirty for about 3 hours with them.
That's a good amount of time. Yeah. Like, talking to a lot of my mommy friends, they don't have 3 hours, or they can't find 3 hours.
Yeah.
They can't stick to a schedule to allow themselves to have those 3 hours for their kids.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I have help with my mom, because my mom lives with me right now, and so she helps me with the food, which is honestly a huge part of just daily routine, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about making dinner. I don't have to worry about packing them their lunch because my mom does it. It's pretty
amazing.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
And so I feel very grateful that I have those extra hours to, instead of, like, packing food for the kids or making food, I could hang out with my kids. So,
Yeah.
Do you have a set time that you kind of go to bed? So you have a morning routine. Do you have, like, an evening? And are you strict about, like, getting a certain amount of hours of sleep?
Yeah. So I do have an evening routine. It's not as intense as my morning routine, but the kids are in bed by 8:30, sometimes 9 p.m. And then from there, and this is a funny story that I have to share. So my kids were really adamant that I sleep with them for a very long time, just because I co-slept with my kids for a long time. And it's honestly really hard to break that cycle once you start. Just so you know.
No, I know. Well, at what age did...
Well, okay, so we could do a whole another podcast on just, like, sleep training. But my oldest daughter, Chloe, we didn't sleep train her. So I co-slept with her up until this year.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
6 years old.
Yes.
Okay.
And then my youngest daughter, Colette, she's two, but we sleep trained her and it was amazing. I was like, I can't believe I did not do this for Chloe because, one, she has such a positive association with sleeping now. And you could literally drop her off in her bed and walk out and she's fine. And she's out until the next morning. Whereas my oldest daughter has really no confidence in sleeping by herself. So it took us this long, right? But the funny story is that they really wanted a bunk bed. Chloe really, really wanted a bunk bed. I'm like, I'll get you a bunk bed, but I'm not going to be sleeping in that bunk bed with you. You know that, right? So she was like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, okay, so do you want me to get you a bunk bed? Because if I get you a bunk bed, that means that you have to start sleeping on your own and your sister can sleep below you. And she was like, yeah, I think I'm ready. So we ordered her the bunk bed. It took a while, but she's finally sleeping on her own. And I have my life back at the end of the day now, because now after I put them to bed at 8:30, from 8:30 on, it's just like my time.
Yeah.
What usually I do, which I'm trying not to do, is I'll just go back into work mode because I have so much to do. Mm-hmm. But if I do that, I try to check out by 10 p.m. Okay. max.
Okay.
Right? And then from 10 p.m., I'll do like my skincare routine. And then I try to be in bed no later than 11, 12. Because mm-hmm. okay. I do wake up at 6 naturally. So. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dang,
yeah.
That sounds like a full day.
Yeah.
That's a lot to balance and handle. Work, your own, you know, self-care routines and making sure you're taking care of yourself and then the kids and whew.
I mean, that's going to be you in the next few months.
I freaking know.
You'll figure it out along the way. Like, I always say it's so much scarier when you're on the outside. But when you're in it, you're like, okay, let's go. Let's do this. You know?
Yeah, I did feel, so right now I'm at 22 weeks and I did feel the first kicks.
Ah.
And I had woken up at like 6 a.m. to go pee because I'm up all night just like peeing now. But I woke up and I felt the kicks, and usually I'm like in this lull state where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go back to sleep. And I was just awake after that. I was like, oh my god, it is kicking. I feel it. I feel like I have to stay awake now. So I could feel like a sense of that responsibility once it's an actual human that's like external and needing my help.
I heard somewhere that your body, and the reason why you pee so much, obviously there's a lot of scientific like reasons of like why your pelvis is like, I don't know, whatever, right? I don't know the reasons to that. But I heard that you are being prepped right now to be able to wake up at those hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's some sort of correlation there. It's your body is telling you that you have to prepare and it won't go in shock when you have to, because you're probably waking up at least every 3 hours to go pee,
yeah.
right? And that's going to be you with the baby.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, got this. You're ready. You're already doing it.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure it'll be easier once I'm there, or I'll just, I don't know. I'm a really deep sleeper. That's the only thing I'm really worried about. But
I'm like you too. When I sleep, like I am out. Some people, my assistant, sometimes she has to shake me because she's worried that I'm not breathing because I'm so quiet.
My.
And I'm like, yeah. So I feel you on that.
So you shared with us, Christelle, the construction of your day, everything from your personal, taking care of yourself, and the work that you do and how you space that out. Knowing for a working mom, a big part of your life is your work, right? Mm-hmm. And in 2019, you started Boomo with your business partner, Joan Nguyen Tran. And then the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
So can you walk us through how the idea for Boomo first came around? And then what was it like going through pandemic for you and that new business?
So Boomo was an idea that I had 6 years ago when I first had Chloe. And, you know, I always prided myself as a working woman, being independent. Mm-hmm. And so I naturally told myself, I'm not going to slow down once I have kids. Mm-hmm. I got this. I'm not like everyone else. Like, I'm able to do both, right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I had her. And I was like, holy crap, what is this? How come I feel like when I'm working that I'm being a bad mom?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm not working and I'm with her, I feel like I'm not doing enough for my career, that I'm being lazy, right? Mm. How come I feel this way? And the reason being is because there's really no support system for working parents, especially mothers. And so I went to Korea like a year before I had Chloe, and I had a lot of friends in Korea that have kids. So I experienced all these kind of kids cafes. They're quite popular in all of Asia, actually. Mm. Like, I know Taiwan has a lot of them. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, why doesn't this concept live here in the US, where parents can actually enjoy a cup of coffee or an adult conversation while their kids are off running, like enjoying themselves, right? And so I always had that idea in the back of my mind and that experience. And once I experienced how hard working with child was, I was like, I wonder if I could take that similar concept but use it in a work model.
Mm-hmm.
So be able to kind of retrofit it for working parents. Mm-hmm. And so that was the start of the idea of Boomo Work. And I started chipping away at it. And for me, when I get started on projects, I get really obsessed, like kind of unhealthy obsessed with things. And so I was not able to sleep. I just kept waking up, thinking about it. I would sometimes just stay up for hours figuring out how I could get this to happen. Mm. And keep in mind that I've been in fashion my whole life, so this concept was completely foreign to me. I didn't know where to start.
Yeah.
And so I just started talking to people about it. I knew that I needed to find a partner that understood this industry a bit more. Mm. So I found Joan, who is my co-founder, and I've known her for almost 13 years. Yeah. We weren't very close, but we've always respected each other. Mm. She has been in education and in children's education for a very long time. Focused more on an older group, but she understood what it took to run a business like that. And so her and I would just like bounce ideas off of her. And then she became even more obsessed with the concept than I did. And so I was just like, we got to be co-founders. I can't pull this off on my own. So that's when her and I linked up and she was my co-founder. And then we decided that, okay, we're going to go out there and talk to some VCs about it because we need money.
Mm-hmm.
We have never raised a single dollar before. Joan's company is fully self-funded. She's never had to ask for money. My company, as a content creator, everything is self-funded as well. I've never raised money before. So we didn't know what we were doing, but we got a few introductions. So we flew ourselves to San Francisco and everyone kindly said no, basically. And we came back and we're like, okay, we got to perfect this model because obviously there's something here, but people are not really understanding or seeing the big picture. Mm. And then that's when we started building out our team. So because we didn't have any capital, I asked a few of my friends, kind of industry friends, and if they could help us or if they were interested in like being a part of our team. So one of them being Jessica Alba. Mm. And, you know, when I told Jessica this concept, I was just expecting her to be an advisor for the company, given like her background with Honest. But she was like, no, I love this content. I'm going to invest in you guys. And so that kind of helped us get started.
Yeah.
And once people started finding out that Jessica was a part of the business and, you know, so many people, like it was like a snowball effect, right? And then here we are at Westfield. They love the concept and they're like, okay, we don't want any other shopping centers. We don't want you guys to go anywhere else. You guys have to open here. We have the perfect space for you. And in fact, we're going to pay you guys to build out the location.
Oh.
And so everything just started to happen. Like as we were putting the word out there, it wasn't the way that we thought it was going to happen because we thought we were just going to get funded right away.
Right, yeah.
But it didn't work out that way. So we got Westfield and that was when we're like, okay, like we're doing it. Like this is happening.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And
that's crazy.
That was 2019. And then of course we all know what happened in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
So Boomo was supposed to open up in spring of 2020 and then the pandemic hit. And then Joan and I were like, okay, what do we do? Do we just wait around until it's gone? And so because we were building out curriculum for our location for the kids here at the center, we already had it, right? And so we're like, why don't we just launch it online to see if anyone would want to use it?
Yeah.
And so that's when we launched our first live class and announced it as just kind of a temporary solution for parents that might need the support.
Mm-hmm.
Once I announced it, the website crashed. We got over, I think it was in 30 countries, so many families in 30 different countries that signed up overnight.
Wow.
And we just knew that we were onto something with that. And we're like, wow, there's obviously a need here. Granted that people were freaking out because they didn't know what to do with their kids because the school shut down and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we started Boomo Brain. And Boomo Brain grew out of the pandemic, and we thought it was going to be kind of like a temporary pandemic thing for parents. But what we realized is that still to this day, not that the pandemic is gone, we're still in it, but a lot of people have kind of gone back to the normal lives of sending their kids back to school and such. So we thought people would stop using it after they send their kids back to school. But that wasn't the case. The reason being is we have so many unique classes that you can't get in a traditional school, such as foreign language, Korean, Mandarin, Spanish, Japanese, Italian, French, for ages 2 to 6 years old.
Mm.
And that's a typically underserved age group
because
a lot of people, they're like, oh, early childhood, I mean, it's like, it's overlooked a lot. And so that was the start of Boomo Brain. It still exists. It's still growing like crazy. And we realized that it's not a pandemic problem that we're solving. It was actually an early childhood education problem.
Wow,
and so now we're essentially, we don't like calling it two companies because it's still one company. But yeah, we have Boomo Brain and Boomo Work.
If it was just a temporary solution, how did you find the educators and the amount of people to scale to the level where you're supporting all of these different countries that are signing up?
Yeah, so that was actually the biggest problem we had, was because there was so much growth and mm-hmm. there was so much demand in so many different time zones. We're like, we don't know how to like accommodate everyone, right? And so we did the best we could. And we actually have teachers in Asia, Boomo Brain teachers in Asia that are teaching from that time zone. And so we just kind of saw where it was most populated, and we would try to figure out how we could onboard some people that had the proper credentials mm-hmm. and go through the training for Boomo Brain. And we were able to do that, but we still realized that we couldn't keep up with the demand. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we are launching the next few weeks is our on-demand platform, which is on-demand classrooms. So pretty much kids can plug in anytime, anywhere. I like to call it kind of like the Peloton
live classes.
Live classes for kids.
Yeah.
Because a lot of parents, and you're probably going to experience this yourself, we all have YouTube Kids. You know, it's kind of like the default thing that you give to your kids, but we all kind of feel guilty about it, right? Mm-hmm. We're like, we know it's not the best content for you, but it's going to keep you busy for an hour, so take it, right? Yeah. And we've all been there, done that. And so we like to say that the on-demand platform is guilt-free screen time for a kid. Mm-hmm. So if you as a parent need an hour or 30 minutes to plug in and you just really need your kids to be focused on something, then you might as well give them something that's entertaining and highly educational and beneficial to them. And so that's Boomo On Demand, which we're launching in the next few weeks.
Wow, that is incredible. Just hearing the story of like how you got to Boomo Brain and how you were able to scale so much. And also the fact that you went into brick and mortar during a time where brick and mortar was not surviving, but then you kind of went back to your specialty of like online content creation, but in a different, very different industry, education.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Thank you. And you know, we thought that the pandemic was going to kill the brick and mortar concept, but it actually enhanced our narrative, because our narrative is always to integrate family and work. Right? We always view family, parenting on a separate island than your work and personal and social life, right? But we really believe here at Boomo that the future of family and the future of work is integration. So merging the two islands together, the two worlds together, and creating a system that will support both. And so now a lot of companies are actually reaching out to Boomo, and we're actually opening up in a few corporate campuses because one, companies, they are having a very hard time right now trying to get their working parents back to work. I mean, they're having a hard time getting anyone back to work, but especially their parents, right? And because you can work from home now, you can still be at home with your kids and get your shit done, right? So parents are like, I don't want to commute for 3 hours back and forth. And so why would I go back? So companies are now trying to figure out how can they support their working parents. So one, their people will come back, but also to recruit new talent. Because as you guys know, we're all kind of in the same age group. What used to excite us, like free beer on Fridays and unlimited vacation days, that doesn't excite us anymore, right? Well, once you become a parent, you're just like, okay, that's great. I'll buy my own beer, but what are you going to do about my kids, And so that's a conversation we're seeing a lot in companies, and we're very excited because Boomo is in the forefront of sharing with companies a solution for that.
Yeah, that is such a perfect integration of going into these larger corporations and providing that space. So that's a really good like next step for the company in terms of growth too.
So we have a lot of our, I mean, this is our very first flagship and we almost call it our showroom, but obviously we have members here that work out of here and use the childcare space. But this is the space where a lot of companies come to tour and to see it. And they're like, wow, we need this in our campuses. Our parents will be so happy. And there are studies that show that if you provide childcare. If you are allowing your parents to be with their kids, their happiness level is a lot higher, which will make them more productive. Mm-hmm. There's actual studies on this. Mm-hmm. I'm probably saying it wrong, but there are statistics. And so I think people are trying to figure out how they could support working parents because it's also going to help them on their business as well.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I mean, like, gone are the days where you just get a tiny room for pumping and the room is usually with like a nasty old couch.
Yeah.
And just like what, just like the privacy lock. That's it. That was my old company. That's all that was provided.
Oh, I mean, you're lucky to even have a separate like tiny room. I feel like most companies, they're like, okay, go use to the bathroom
or something, right?
Yeah. And you're like in the stall with like that
the pumping sound.
And I've done that before. It's so embarrassing.
Goodness. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do and it's the gift that always fits.
Well, for those of our listeners who may not be as familiar with how you just got started with your career, can you share when your passion in fashion began? So this was before Boomo has been blowing up. And just like the moment that you felt like building and sharing with an online community could become a career on its own. Mm. I think a lot of people are interested in the creative, but it's like, what is that moment? What was that moment for you? Because I think you were in accounting before.
I was in accounting, yeah.
When did that transition to just like starting the fashion?
So I grew up in the Bay Area. Like that's where I went to middle school, high school. And my parents were living there for a very long time as well. And once I graduated high school, I just knew that I had to come to LA. And I came to LA without really knowing what I wanted to do. But my mom was like, you know, your cousin is an accountant. He probably will make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You should probably study accounting. Mm. So I went into accounting. I went to Cal Poly Pomona. And I soon realized that I hated it. But then in Cal Poly, there's a small area which is not considered fashion, but it's called agriculture development. And agriculture development also talks about textiles and fabrics and like yarns and like all these things. And so they.
Chriselle's face is lighting up right now.
So they considered it a fashion class. I was like, oh, fashion class, I'm going to take that. So I signed up for it. I'm like, what is this? But then I was like, okay, I think I need to study fashion. I love this, but this is like the only class that is available on this campus or in this school. So I dropped out of Cal Poly and then I took a year off and then I went to FITM.
Okay.
And that's when I knew I wanted to do something in fashion. I still didn't know exactly what it was. And I think that's okay. I think fashion in general is such a big industry, like any industry, right? But you just know that that is your calling. So I just went there. I took some classes and I realized that I loved like looking at clothes. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to be a buyer. Like that is the most obvious thing as a career. And so I studied buying, which has a lot to do with math, and I was good at math as well. And so I was like, this is the perfect career for me. And then I started studying that, and I was like, oh, but I feel like I need a bit more creativity. And so then I went into visual merchandising because I was like, oh, well, maybe I could style the front the front window of Bloomingdale's. Oh, okay. It seems like a dream job, you know?
Yeah.
So I studied that for a bit. And then during that time, I was interning. And I'm such a big advocate of internship because that's when I was able to figure out what it is that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Because I did a lot of different internships. I did internship for, you know, PR company, stylist, merchandiser, like everything. And nothing really stuck until I found this internship for a stylist. And then I worked for her for a few years. And then I fell in love with it. And that's how I got into styling. And during that time was when I actually met Michelle Phan.
Okay, what year is this?
2009. So at the time, I didn't understand anything about YouTube. I knew that YouTube existed, but it was mainly for to watch like silly comedic videos of your cats or whatever, And then I met Michelle, and she was telling me about what she does. She called herself a makeup artist. I was like, oh, cool. Like, what kind of makeup do you do? She's like, oh, I do makeup online. I was like, what? Yeah. What is that?
Yeah.
And I just became super fascinated with this world. And her and I became good friends. And she was like, I'll help you make your first video. You should do something about fashion. No one really does fashion on YouTube. And I was like, okay, that sounds really weird, but sure.
Yeah.
And so she helped me film my very first video.
Oh, wow.
It's still up on my channel.
Yeah.
It's really cringy.
we'll be sure to pull it back.
Yeah. I think any old videos are cringy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I keep it on there because it just reminds you of how far you have come, right?
Yeah, and so, yeah, yeah.
And that video kind of blew up overnight. I guess viral. Back then was like, you know, 500,000 views, right? And so I was like, what is this? This is insane. I came from the magazine world. I was working for a magazine company, and I understood the metrics of viewership, like how many people read the magazine. So I was like, if there's 500,000 people reading a magazine, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, but they're watching my video. And so I just kind of compared it to a magazine, like the editorial world. And so that was when I started my YouTube channel. And I haven't, I mean, I guess I stopped 3 years ago because I honestly kind of got over it.
Yeah.
But I did it for like about 11 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. So did you stop any of your internships and just went to pursue the YouTube full time after
so
that?
So I was still, by then I was working for a magazine called Genlux. Mm-hmm. So I was doing a lot of their styling. I was one of their editors. And until I was able to make my very first paycheck with a video, that's when I was like, okay, peace out. Bye. Mm.
But the paycheck's on YouTuber.
Oh God, it was slim. Funny. It was funny because I was like so proud to make like a $500 check. That was a lot for me back then.
Yeah.
And it was unheard of, right? A brand paid $500 for me to make a video. And I was like, if one brand paid me $500, I could get 50 brands to pay me $500.
Mm.
And so that's how I viewed it.
I see.
And so I was like, okay, but I need to invest my time into this.
Right.
And because I was editing everything. I was shooting everything. I was editing everything. I was styling. I was doing everything. It was a whole production for me. And so I knew that I had to have a full day just available for me to be able to get that content out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I quit my job, and I had some money saved up. So I told myself, if things don't work out in the next year, then I could always just go back to styling.
Yeah. Were your parents okay with you making this decision?
No, they thought I was crazy.
Leaving accounting, going into, what's it, agriculture, textile?
Dropping out of school. Yeah.
I'm sure they're very proud of you now, though.
They are. But I mean, they're proud of me now. I love how all parents are like, oh, yeah, we always knew that you were going to make it.
Yeah.
Like, right, mom, dad. When I look back on it, I feel like those were the most fun times of my career. Mm. Of course, there are the moments where you're like, oh, I achieved something or I'm making X amount of money. But I think it was the unknown for me and the dream that got me just so excited, like not sure if that it would work out. And that's just how I naturally work. Like with Boomo, it was such a big challenge for me. I didn't know if I could do it.
Yeah.
And so I get obsessed with things like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, true entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Like in your blood.
It's in my blood.
So, Christelle, you shared that you grew up or you spent a lot of your childhood in the Bay Area, but you were actually born in Texas, right? And you spent some time in Seoul as well growing up. What was it like growing up in the different types of cultural influences that you did, and how has that impacted you as a person today?
Yeah, so I was born in Texas because my parents went to school there. They had me when they were in college, and I don't really remember much of it because I was only a year old, and then I left Texas and haven't really been back since. But majority of my memories were in the Bay Area. We were in the Bay Area for a few years, and then we moved to Korea because my dad got relocated for his job. And so it was really confusing, to be honest, because when I was in the Bay Area, I was one of the only Asian kids. My sister and I were probably two out of like the five Asian kids in our community. And so I always felt like I wanted to be more white because all my friends were white. All of, you know, the people around me that I looked up to were white. Whereas my sister, she had no problem because she, I don't know, her and I are very different. She's just very much like the popular girl at school. Like everyone loved her for who she is. For me, I had to try hard to fit in, right? And I think it's because I'm also a little bit more introverted and shy, and she was always kind of outgoing, the party girl. And so I never felt truly part of a community in the Bay Area because I was trying so hard to be something that I wasn't. So when I moved to Korea, I was really excited because I thought that I would fit in naturally because I'm Korean. I'm moving to the motherland, right? But I actually had the exact opposite experience. I went to a foreign school. Back then, Korean people really did not like Korean Americans. And they're very, the kids would make fun of the Korean Americans that went to the foreign schools there. And so I just remember going on the school bus, and the Korean school bus, the kids would throw rocks at the Korean American. I went to SFS, Seoul Foreign School, and they would be like throwing rocks at us. And I was so confused. I was like, I look just like them, but how come they're... And I was young. I was like, how come they're so mean? And so it was one of the worst times of my life. Like, I really just hated being in Korea. Of course, things are different now. I go to Korea, and I love it there because I'm a lot more, you know, I just understand how it works now. And I'm able to adapt a lot better. But I was young back then, so I felt very excluded. And then so we moved back to the Bay Area. And again, same situation, but it was when I finally moved out to LA when I felt like I found my people, because there are lots of Asian Americans, and I've never been around Asian Americans before, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, where were you guys when I needed you? But I have to say, the one group that I was really close in the Bay Area was my church. And it was because it was a small Korean church, and a lot of the kids were Korean American. And my best friend today was my best friend growing up at that church.
That's so sweet. Is she in LA now?
Yeah, she's in LA. We live like 15 minutes from each other.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so awesome that you found your community here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I found my people here, and I'm just so proud to be Korean, Asian American.
Yeah. I mean, that leads me to the next question that I do want to ask you, because this is also the Asian Boss Girl podcast. So, you know, as an Asian American woman, I feel like all of us, we have these shared experiences that we go through, a very unique set of experiences, whether it's because people see us differently from the outside, there's a different set of expectations for us, a lot of unique experiences. And I'm curious, what are some of the most challenging experiences you faced in your industry as an Asian American woman?
That's a good question. I think the most challenging thing in my industry, in fashion specifically, being Asian American, is a lot of brands will look at you as a dollar sign because I work a lot with luxury brands, right? And so a lot of the luxury clientele are Asians, right? And so there have been instances where brands will say, oh, yeah, we definitely need one Asian in part of this mix. And, you know, I would hear because they can bring the Asian consumer in, which I understand. It's a business at the end of the day. I run a business, so I get that. But sometimes you're like, well, I'm more than just like my Asian face and my Asian eyes. Like, do you actually see me for me, right? Mm. And like the quality of content that I put out, the work ethic that I have.
Right.
And so although I do respect that they are running a business and they have certain, like, you know, quotas that they have to meet, and maybe the Asian consumer can drive that type of awareness or sales, there are times where I wish that more brands would look at you for, oh, she's a great, amazing creative, yeah, versus like, oh, she's Asian, so we should hire her, yeah, you know?
That sounds, so we just interviewed the Kinjas, Anthony and Mike Zong, and they are amazing dancers. So they're like at the top of their game in the dance industry. And they said the same thing where we asked them a similar question. They said, in America, they're seen as like the Asian dance group. But when they're in, because they have two dance studios in Asia. And so when they go back there, they see them as just like great dancers.
Dancers, yes.
Yeah, and they that distinction is like huge for them because they can see they're in both locations all the time. And they're just like, yeah, here they're just like a mask and, you know, more like a puppet for, you know, what people want to see them as, which is like Asian dancers.
That, yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And I know a lot of this is ingrained by kind of society, and there's a lot of unfolding and unlearning that we have to do. And we're all part of the problem too, because we have allowed people to view us a certain way, and we just kind of let it, you know, pass by and be like, oh, it's fine, whatever. But it's really important that, you know, we see people for their talents and their work and their work ethic, not just because of they look a certain way or their skin color,
right,
or whatnot. So I'm hoping that the fashion industry will get to that.
Yeah.
But as far as opportunity for Asians in fashion, I feel like there's abundant amount of opportunity when it comes to fashion with Asian because of that reason. And I am very thankful for that. Mm. But sometimes you do wish that they could see you beyond that, yeah.
Do you feel like because of everything that's been happening this past year, there's been more opportunities for you just with, like, a lot more attention, I feel like, on just Asian people and, like, a lot of bigger companies putting their dollars behind Asian creatives and supporting Asian companies?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more awareness,
yeah,
and I've definitely been able to work with some brands that I haven't ever been able to work with during this past year, because I know that they have to, right? They have to bring more awareness and diversity to their campaigns. And so I am happy that there is this opportunity and brands are trying to change and trying to make more opportunity for people of color. But I also feel like it's beyond just the campaigns. It's really an internal culture that you have to create for your company that's going to actually have a long-lasting effect of change. Right. And because it's easy to just hire an Asian model and say, hey, we're not racist.
Yeah.
You know, we have one face model up here. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's great. That's a start. But what are you doing internally for your company that's actually going to change that narrative? And so we could see long-term change. So it's interesting to see who's going to come out of this making those actual changes.
I agree. I think the intention right now, it seems like, is maybe not really there. Like, it's almost like a check the box and just make sure that you are supporting minorities and people of color. And the next step is, well, in my eyes, what I see is that there's going to be so much more of an influx of just Asian faces and normalizing the fact that we need to be in these spaces and we deserve to be in these spaces. And then people are going to be like, okay, let's actually figure out how can we, you know, bring up the equality of people of color and like integrate them into the system rather than like having the system that is built against them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a start, but we still have a long ways to go.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, creating companies like yours where it's going to be staffed and led by Asian women. And I think it's like when you become the person in power, then you can start setting that cultural difference, right?
Yeah. Because Joan and I, we have been fundraising, and the statistics are pretty crazy of the percentage that women founders get funded, let alone women that are people of color, women of color founders that get funded. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a lot of work to be done. You know, people need to put their money where they're saying they're actually going to make change. So when you put money in women businesses, people of color, that's where real change can happen.
Right.
Hopefully we'll see the change soon.
Yeah.
Asian Boss Girl is supported by First Republic Bank. Now more than ever, First Republic's priority is serving their clients and communities. Their personalized banking solutions go deeper than a transaction. For over 30 years, First Republic has striven to leave a positive impact on the communities they serve, from presenting grants to nonprofits in need to going the extra mile to connect individuals experiencing hardship with fair loans. The bank is focused on doing the right thing. Your dedicated First Republic banker will be there to guide you every step of the way. Visit firstrepublic.com today to learn more. That's firstrepublic.com. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Well, Chriselle, your career, as we've reviewed, is vast, and you've done everything from fashion now into tech and starting, you know, a business around education and for working parents. What would you say has been the highlight of your career so far? Because I know that you have so much more to go and so much more to do. But with all of that, which, you know, what is like the highlight so far?
Okay, I'll give you guys two highlights. Mm-hmm. One is more external and one is more internal. Mm-hmm. So the external one is when Mattel made a Barbie out of me.
Oh, yeah.
That was definitely a pivotal moment for my career because I grew up with Barbie. I played with Barbie. I collected Barbies. My girls play with Barbies. And I always wondered why there weren't any Asian Barbies. Mm-hmm. And so being a part of that change in narrative, it meant so much to me and also for the future generation and mm-hmm. my girls as well.
Yeah.
So that being one of the biggest external, I guess, accolades mm-hmm. of mine. But I think internally is really the confidence that I've been able to build throughout the year of my career and where I'm at now. I can now walk into a room of very successful men and not give a shit mm-hmm. and just tell them what I'm building. Mm-hmm. And if they don't like it, so be it, whatever. And that's really freeing to me because mm-hmm. before I cared so much about what other people thought of me and I couldn't handle rejection. Mm-hmm. And looking back at Chriselle when I started off, I just wanted to make sure everyone was happy and that everyone liked me. Mm. But getting to where I'm at now and just having this like no F attitude, it's really liberating.
Yeah.
And it just allows me to be my authentic self and just do what I love and not really care about other people and the outcome and all of that.
Yeah, I love that so much. Yeah. I feel like for a lot of our listeners, they write into us about the same thing. You know, it's like, how do you build that confidence? Even they ask us and we're like, I don't know if we're there yet, you know, but I think a lot of people struggle with that. And it comes through in your work too, that you are just like confident. You're like, I don't give a shit what you think. This is just what I do. Like, I'm just going to show it to you. You like it or not, you know? Yeah. And I love that
energy. And I think confidence is built over time.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Like, it's not one moment that you experience and you're like, oh, I'm confident now.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like working out where you have to build it over time and you will get stronger and stronger and stronger. And you're going to go through some rejection. You're going to go through some periods where you're not sure about certain things. But it's all of those things combined together that allows you to eventually get to, you know, a place where you just are so strong and that you don't really care anymore.
What do you think has helped you like build that confidence?
I think it's always just leaning into my fear. So if there's something that I want to do but I feel really nervous and scared about doing something, I might be wrong, but from what I remember, I've never not done something within my career because I was scared of it. Because I always use that as a reason for me to do it.
Oh, that's a good... So using fear as a compass to help figure out what is the thing that you should go into.
I always use fear as my compass. And it allowed me to grow in ways that I couldn't have imagined. Because if I kept following and chasing things that I like to do and things that made me feel comfortable... Honestly, I probably wouldn't have had the career that I've had today.
Yeah.
So if I want to do something and it's scary and I don't know what to do, then I'll just figure it out and do it.
Oof.
You know?
Well, with that, though, have there been times where you've, like, fallen on your face and you're just like, oh, my gosh, maybe I shouldn't have leaned into this fear, but you just still did it anyway.
Yeah. And I think it's a little bit of how I'm built. I'm an Aries, so I'm very stubborn. But I have fallen many times on my face. But I I never ever have once been like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. I'm very quick to be like, okay, let's go. Let's move on. Like, that hurt. Ouch. Yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's always been my attitude with everything, personally, professionally. And sometimes it could kind of come off cold, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of my mechanism to be able to take all the pressure mm-hmm. and the pain. Mm-hmm. And it allows me to not dwell into these moments of like failure, you would call it a failure. But I think you're always moving forward even when you fall on your face. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of moments. I mean, fundraising being one of them. Like, Joan and I, we went out there. We went out to San Francisco, New York a number of times, and we've got rejected so many times. Mm. But we just kept going. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another big thing. And you guys obviously have figured this out, but it's having a partner. Mm-hmm. Because the partner, when you're feeling down, and naturally you're going to feel down on some days, they could kind of pick up your, up the weight and like pull you forward a little mm-hmm. bit. And then vice versa, right? Oh,
for sure. We feel that definitely within our team. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful to like working with two of my best friends and likewise for you.
Same. Yeah. That's
awesome. It's like the best
thing
ever.
That's really, really awesome. Yeah. And I don't know how solo founders do it. Yeah. I props to them because that has to be so hard.
Right.
And I can't imagine myself being a solo founder. And that's part of my secret is like whatever companies that I start, I always have a partner.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think about that too. Like find someone who balances you out in even like your weakness or areas where you're not the strongest in.
Yeah.
You taking that on yourself is really tough. Or you just rely on your partner to take on the burdens at home. Like I think about that all the time too, knowing like my husband and stuff. But yeah.
I mean, for me personally, I know what I'm great at and I also know what I'm not so great at. And what I'm great at is the ideation. I'm very creative and I love big picture thinking. Mm. I could go on for days and days and spit out like millions of amazing big picture ideas. But when it comes to actually doing it and figuring out the logistics and operationally how we're going to pull it off, that's where I fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of my partners are very strong operators. Mm-hmm. And that's very intentional for me because I know that I will never see the light of a project if I don't have someone running the operations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good tip for anyone out there who wants to start their own business as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Christelle, for all the mommy entrepreneurs and self-made women out there, what is the biggest lesson you have learned when it comes to being a working mom? I know you've shared so much already, but if you had to pick out like your top 1 to 3 that, you know, sharing with our audience of, I'm sure a lot of other mommies out there, working moms and mom entrepreneurs, what's something you could advise them on?
Besides coming to Buma Work, is that you can still have a life after kids. And I know that's really hard to believe, especially as a new mom, mm-hmm. but you have to learn how to prioritize yourself. And I know it sounds very selfish, and I actually got this advice when I was a new mom, and I was kind of offended by it because I was like, what are you talking about? I literally can't even like find an hour to sleep. How am I supposed to prioritize myself at this point? So once you get out of kind of the thick of it, right, of like the newborn phase of the first, I would say about 8 months, right? You have to intentionally prioritize yourself. And I'm speaking to you because it's so easy to fall off that. And once you fall off that, everything falls apart. Your relationship falls apart. Your friendship falls apart. Your social life falls apart. Our culture has normalized it to make it seem like it's okay.
Yeah.
That, like you're exhausted. Oh, that's part of it. You know,
right.
You don't have a social life. Oh, that's part of it.
Yeah.
Like you haven't talked to your friends in like a year. Oh, it's okay. You're a mom.
Yeah.
And I really hate that.
I'm already feeling on that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it takes a lot of work because it's easy to be like, I'm too busy, but you have to put in your schedule that, okay, every third of every month, I'm going to go out and have drinks with my girlfriends.
Yeah.
I know it's hard. We can make a million excuses, but you have to do it because if you don't do it now, you won't do it later because you're only going to get busier and you have to make it into a habit. It's almost like working out, right? Working out. No one has time for working out.
Yeah.
But the people that make time for it will always have time for it. You know?
That is a great tip for any new moms out there. And I'm like, I'm looking at Christelle. I'm like, yes, I'm taking all of this in because I can totally see myself just being super involved and just like this is my life now and this is my world and everything else is like second in priority.
I mean, I was like that too.
Yeah.
I was like that with Chloe. I did not see my friends.
Yeah.
I did not have a social life, I didn't do anything. And I didn't realize how deep of a hole I dig myself in until I came out of that depression. I was really, really depressed. I didn't even realize I was depressed.
Yeah.
So you got to take care of yourself. All the mamas got to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And do something for yourself at least once a month.
Yeah.
And find out what that thing is, right? For me right now, in this time of my life, girlfriends are a really, really important part of my life.
Yeah.
And so at least 2 times a month for me, I see my girlfriends. And they're all moms. They're all busy, busy moms.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of... Have you guys interviewed Soochin Park?
No.
You guys need to. She is... She has her own podcast too, and she's hilarious.
Oh,
but she's one of
to.
My best yeah. friends, so yeah. I can make that introduction for you guys.
Yeah.
But awesome. Like, I have to see Soochin at least like 2x a month because she helps me keep going. And she is like the therapy for me, right?
Yeah.
That allows me the fuel that I need to keep going. And if I don't see her or my other girlfriends, then I just feel exhausted, right?
Yeah.
And so you just have to know what that is, whether it's seeing your girlfriends, whether it's, I don't know, going on a hike, whatever makes you super happy and inspired, do that at least once a month.
Mm. That's a good tangible tip for any new mamas out there. Maybe just put an event on your calendar right now for once a month reoccurring to do something for yourself.
Absolutely.
For any of our listeners out there who are in relationships or hope to be, when it comes to managing a partnership, what do you think is the biggest lesson that you've learned?
I think the biggest lesson I've learned is that you have to find your own happiness. You cannot rely on someone else to make you happy, and the other person cannot rely on you to make themselves happy.
Mm-hmm.
How I view relationship is that two separate beings, individuals, have to work on themselves. And once they're happy with themselves and they come together, they could make each other even happier.
Mm.
But if two people are not working on themselves and they're just kind of whatever with their own being, no matter how much work you put into something, you will never truly be happy.
Mm.
And so it always comes from a place where don't abandon yourself. Like, you always have to work on yourself, even for the guys too, right? For guys, it's also easy for them to be wrapped up with their work and, you know, their kids, and then forget to do the things that they love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And once you feel fulfilled and you work on yourself, then you guys can come together and be truly, like, present with one another because you love yourself and you love one another, right?
That's great advice.
Yeah. And then also another one is you cannot expect someone to fill all of your buckets.
Mm-hmm.
So I forgot who told me this, but there's many different buckets that we want to fill up, which is like emotionally, you know, spiritually, whatever there is, right? But then if your partner can fill up like 3 out of those 5 buckets and they can't fill up the others, that's fine.
Yeah.
And like, you cannot keep looking at someone else and being like, he's not making me happy in this area.
Mm.
But ask yourself, well, these other areas, is he filling those buckets up?
Mm-hmm.
If he is, then go find it yourself. Like, if you want to be fulfilled in that specific bucket that he's not fulfilling for you, then go find it yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when you're young, you expect your partner to do everything for you, right? And that's kind of the fairy tale. It's like, this man is going to come and swoop me off my feet and I'm going to live happily ever after. But no, there's going to be times where you're just like, he's really not fulfilling me in this area.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's okay.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a great tip for anyone out there who's dating and has a checklist.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't need
a big
full
checklist person.
Yeah. Well, 80% then of that checklist. Just
80%.
Make sure that's filled. Well, you are clearly an Asian boss girl. Like I was saying before, I think there's only a handful of people that I truly respect because they can really, you know, find that balance of like a power and a presence, but because it's equally mixed with the passion that they have for what they're doing. And you've achieved that, which is incredible. And still so young too. Girl.
Am I young?
Yes. Yes. I'm just calling me young.
I mean, we're not young, but we're not old either.
Exactly.
So we're like in the sweet spot.
We're
right
in
now.
Like act 2 now. Act 2, that's where we are. But I'm curious, you know, because you've already built so many strong and successful brands for yourself. Like, what is next for you? What is next for Chriselle Lim? Do you have any more interest in building up more businesses, diving deeper into the fashion space, or focus more on Boomo?
I am good right now. Like, I feel like I don't know, maybe I'll have another business later on. Nothing's kind of in the works right now, mm-hmm. but I just really want to focus on what I have in front of me and focus on, you know, just being an awesome mom to my kids. And, you know, when you do make that commitment of like, okay, I'm going to be really present. Yeah, like something's got to give, right? Like, you're not going to be able to go 10,000 miles per hour like you used to when you didn't have kids. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm okay with that. Like, I might not be able to run as fast as I used to, but I've come to a place where I just want to be present and enjoy my moments with them. And so, yeah, I'm just focusing on building out Boomo, opening up in other areas so we could help more working parents, mm. and just being an awesome mom. I know, yeah. that was kind of a boring answer.
No, but that's like an perfect. Amazing, I mean, hello, you're building out Boomo to yeah. multiple locations and starting this new initiative at different corporations. So that in itself, it's like full-time career plus, okay? Oh,
thank you guys. Yeah, yeah, you know, for me, I would have given you a different answer 5 years ago because I've always been like, what's next? What's yeah. next? But what I realize is that when you keep looking in the future, you can't mm-hmm. really appreciate where you're at mm-hmm. right now.
Yes.
And so I kind of stopped thinking that way of like, what am I going to build next? Where am I going next? And I just sit here and I'm like, this is freaking awesome. I did this. Like, I'm just going to enjoy it while I can right now because the next thing will come. You know?
Yes. Yeah.
And when you're truly present, opportunities just pop up left and right without you having to seek them. Yeah. So
yeah. That is the wisdom coming from someone who's not super young and not super old, just in the sweet spot. We're going to wrap this up, Chriselle, with a fire round of questions, if you don't mind. So the first question is, what is your holy grail beauty product at the moment?
Ooh, my Clos de Peau Beauté Serum. I've been using it for about 5 years.
Okay. Another question. Oh, this is not part of our list, but question. Did you break out a lot when you were pregnant? Mm.
I got hormonal acne.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did you use for that?
asking for a friend,
you know.
Oh, you're dealing with hormonal acne. I mean, I can't tell from here.
It's down here. I mean, there's concealer on my face.
Honestly, I'm going to tell you an answer you're not going to like is nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
Because, one, you have to be careful about these very strong products that will actually help with the inflammation and all of that. But, two, it's hormonal, so it will go away on its own. Yeah. And you don't want to irritate it or dry it out even more.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good answer. I think I knew that answer, but I've been trying out all these different products, but I knew that answer.
I mean, water too. Water helps a lot. And I know that you get really dehydrated when you're pregnant.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Neon green pea. Yes. Not anymore, but yes. Three must-haves in starting a business.
Three must-haves. Well, I guess it depends on what type of business, but I would say, just in general?
I think this is more like intangibles.
Mm. Oh, intangibles. So not like actual products.
Yeah.
Okay, three must-haves is big picture thinking. Mm. So where you envision yourself, where you want to go. Mm. That being one. Number two is grit, mm-hmm. which is what's going to keep you on course. Mm. And even on hard days, you will still keep going. And three is the ability to let it go. Mm-hmm. Because once you let it go, then you're able to go back to being focused on what to do next versus like living in la-la land and being like, I'm going to build this huge company, right? Because that's big picture. You got to have that. But if you have big picture and you don't have the actual ability to move forward with what's in front of you, then you're not going to have a business. Mm. So those are my three tips.
Great tips. That was awesome. What is one word you would use to describe yourself?
How I describe myself or how my kids describe me? So I would describe myself as a creative, kind of
serious and very, very stubborn. Ooh. How my kids describe me is very serious. Because they're always like, Daddy is so funny and you're very serious. And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm not Daddy. And Daddy's not like me. So, my oldest would call me very serious, organized. Oh, she's been using the word trendy a lot. I don't know where she learned that from. I don't think I'm trendy. I think I'm really behind trends, but she thinks I'm trendy, so that's all that matters.
Does she understand or know what you do online?
Like a little bit. Yeah. I think because she understands that social media does exist because I am always taking photos and I'm posting them, and sometimes she appears in them and I show them to her. Mm. So I think she understands that mommy takes photos, but I don't think she understands people actually are looking at it.
Right. Okay, engaging with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Although I have to say, she does go to a school where it goes all the way up to middle school.
Yeah.
And a lot of the middle schoolers, they do recognize her from my TikTok. Oh. And because, you know, TikToks, I mean, I get surprised how young these kids start on TikTok.
Yeah.
But they do start really young. And so Chloe has been asking more about TikTok. Like, so are you posting that on TikTok? And I'm like, what do you know about TikTok?
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know, like, it's music and dance, so it's interesting to see her perspective on it.
Yeah. She doesn't have a phone right now?
No.
Are you, like, limiting that until a certain age?
I mean, I might be speaking too fast because I know it's going to be harder when I actually have to deal with it, but I don't want to give her a phone until she's a teenager. Like, but I know I have friends, and I also know people, neighbors, that, like, they're 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, it's become normal for that age group to have phones.
Oh, yeah.
For me, I'm trying not to be judgmental because I understand that every family has different needs and different rules. But I'm like, I don't understand why they need a phone at this age. Like, my daughter does not need a phone at 9, right?
Yeah.
Because
you're picking her up. It's not like she needs
to. She's not going out to the mall by herself. Right. She's always with either me or Daddy.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I'm like, what? Why do they need the phone? Mm. But again, come back to me 3 years later. It might be a different situation. She might have her own phone, her own. No, I won't let her on social.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Wait, okay. Is there a part of you that wants her to follow your footsteps?
No, I don't want her to follow my footsteps. But if she wants to do what I do, I would help. I would be happy to guide her because I don't want her to do something because mommy is just doing it. I want her to do something because she really loves it, right? And she's not gonna know what she loves until she tries out different things. And for me, I think it's really important for her to figure out what her passions are. Right now, it's horseback riding. She loves horseback riding. Her whole thing right now is going to the Olympics and competing.
Yes.
So
that's awesome.
If that's what she wants to do, that's what she wants to do. But if she wants to make Instagram or TikTok content, then I'll guide her, but at a reasonable age.
Okay, what is one word to describe each of your daughters?
Okay, Chloe is very hyper-aware. She is able to really distinguish emotions and really understand how people are feeling, which I think is such a gift. She is also very particular. So she maps out her outfits the night before. She knows what she's going to wear for the entire week. So I guess a little bit organized in that sense.
And a planner.
Wow. If her sister, if you go to her desk, because she has her own little desk now, she has like all of her pencils lined up, all of her notebooks. And if her sister comes and like moves a pencil, she freaks out. So I guess she's organized too. My youngest daughter, Colette, she's just silly. She's very outgoing. She's very flexible. Chloe's not flexible. Yeah.
But was she like Colette when she was 2?
No. Okay. She was never flexible and quick to adapt. It took her time. Which is fine too, but Colette, you could literally drop her off at someone's house and she'll be best friends with everyone. Yeah, all the kids. Whereas Chloe is like, I don't know, stranger danger.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, just such different personalities.
Yeah.
Next question. The song you can't get out of your head right now.
Oh, Billie Eilish,
Happier Than Ever. I love that song so much. It's my jam.
Your go-to piece of clothing in your closet that you can't live without?
There's a few, but I would say my high-rise mom jeans. I think they're from H&M, actually. They're just like the perfect high-rise. I can wear my crop tops without feeling like I'm showing too much skin. Mm. I wear those jeans probably 3 days out of like the 5-day work week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's my go-to. I also have a lot of ribbed tanks.
Yeah. Mm.
So kind of like, actually no, it's like your dress, but in a tank form. Mm. Oh, so if you go to my closet, my closet's actually quite boring because it's a lot of just classics and basics. So I have a lot of ribbed tanks, but in like every color.
But you can piece it together in so many different
so
ways.
So my uniform is usually a ribbed tank and a high waist denim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think low risers are coming back?
They are, and I hate it so
much. Do you think so? Have you seen it?
Yes. All the Gen Z kids are wearing it.
Are you serious?
I want to die because I know it looks great on them, but after giving birth to 2 kids, and like, it just feels a little inappropriate.
Yeah. No, we just recorded an episode about like 90s trends because we were kids growing up in the 90s, and but that was one of them. We're like low risers, and then also like people used to show off their like they call it the whale tail. They show off their thong while wearing low risers.
Oh my god, yes. I hate that so much. I mean, I get it. It's a look. It's like Lil' Kim, right?
Lil' Kim.
I think she did that a lot in her music videos.
I'm like, please don't have that come back. I really hope not.
Oh, and then on the beach, when you go to the beach now, all the girls are wearing thong bikinis.
Oh. Oh.
And I mean, it's fine. They look great, and they have the conference to do it.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. Yeah. Maybe I'm just hating because I can't do it.
All right, last question. Dream collaboration or someone you'd like to work with?
Dream collaboration. I mean, I had the biggest crush on Victoria Beckham growing up, her Spice Girl days.
Yeah.
I still love her so much. I mean, we're not friends, but I've been invited to her shows a few times, so we've seen each other. But I can't say that we've collaborated or like, you know, so that would be really cool because it's like my childhood dreams like coming together. So I'll say Victoria Beckham is still kind of my crush, my girl crush. And I don't know. I'm really bad at this.
No, this is great. Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah. I mean, yes, Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spice Girls. But a big one for Boomo that I would love is, it's more on the philanthropic side. Mm. Is Malala for Boomo because she's all about funding education, girls' education.
Yeah.
And it's something that we stand for here at Boomo for both Boomo Work and Boomo Brain. Mm. So being able to somehow collaborate with her on Boomo would be so incredible. Yeah. And just the mission there, I feel like it aligns. I'm just putting that out to the world.
Oh my gosh, yes, manifest it. That's like the perfect like collaboration that I can see happening for your team too.
Would love that.
Yeah. Well, okay, how can our ABG community support you in your upcoming projects and everything that you're doing? How can we have a large audience out there, how can they support you?
If you're a mom, I would say check out Boomo Work at Boomo Work or at Boomo Brain. If you're in the LA area, you definitely have to come to Century City to visit us.
Yes, yes.
And if you want to just follow me, I mean, I'm kind of boring, but I'm at Chriselle Lim on both Instagram and TikTok.
Not boring at all. Yeah, not at all. So entertaining. Yeah. And like, you fill up my like day. I'm just like watching your stories. I'm like, when I'm bored, I'm just like, what's Chriselle up to?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I like stories a lot because I feel like I could just in the moment just share what I'm doing
and
with
be
that.
Yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And just be myself. So. Yeah.
Love it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Chriselle. This was amazing. It was great to sit down with you and check out Boomo Work. Mm-hmm. We are so excited to see everything that is going to be coming up for you in this coming year and more.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming. I'm so excited to see, I'm excited to see you guys grow already, but like continued success, and can't wait to see what's in store for you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Likewise.
If you don't already, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. You can also support us through monthly donations at anchor.fm/AsianBossGirl/support or get some merch at AsianBossGirl.myshopify.com. If you resonated with today's episode, let us know in the comments of our IG post. And if you'd like to put faces to our names, you can find us on YouTube, where we share vlogs, an audience Q&A segment called Dear ABG, and much more. Our handle on both platforms is @AsianBossGirl.
And to close out this wonderful episode, we have a few shout-outs, lots of school and transition ones, from Julia to Mello in Irvine, wishing you the best in your next chapter of your life at UC Berkeley. Congrats, by the way. Julia is very grateful to have had you as her roommate for the past 4 years. From Melissa to Priyanka in New Jersey, good luck at Harvard, and thanks for being an amazing best friend these past few years. From Yaritza to Jessica in Palo Alto, congrats on closing your first fundraise. As the fearless CEO of Lingo Health, Yaritza is so proud to be your co-founder and excited for you all to improve healthcare for immigrant families. I love that. And lastly, from Caroline to Betty in California, congrats on your engagement. We are so excited for what's ahead for you.
If you'd like to send a shout out to a friend, check out our link tree and our link in bio on our Instagram and click on shout outs. And last but not least, thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all of her magic on our episodes, including this one.
And we will catch you all on the next episode.
Bye. Bye.